You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome back to the Cigar Nerds Podcast, first show of 2015.
Hells yeah.
We're back, bitches. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
Oh, shit. You forgot your titles this time?
Hell no, I didn't forget. I just wanted to switch it up and keep you on your toes. It's a new year.
I figured you'd have, like, you know.
I'm going to need you to be better prepared.
I know, man. It's like, well, we actually have, like, a six-month plan of shows now, so we're actually a little bit more prepared this year. So we'll see how that turns out. It'll probably all fall apart in your episode two and scrap all the plans.
We'll see. Over. As for right now, it seems like a good accountability tool.
Well, it's starting off the year. We'll start with our first Tim's pick of the year.
Yeah.
So what are we smoking, Brad?
Today we are smoking the Diamond Crown Julius Caesar. And I got to say, man, the first thing that captivated me about this cigar is the freaking label, man. The artwork on this thing is just absolutely awesome.
Yeah, the label is pretty sweet. I've not smoked a lot of Diamond Crown cigars. I mean, they're usually kind of ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the, you know, I guess, most of what we smoked up until this point have been more budget-friendly. I mean, this isn't necessarily out of budget, not something I'm going to go to every day at, you know, $18.
It's not
going to
be a daily
smoke,
but it's probably a good special occasion cigar.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the flavor profile and everything else, you've got an Ecuadorian Havana wrapper with a Dominican Republic filler, and the binder is also Dominican Republic. So
yeah, and the filler is a mix of Caribbean Basin and Central American fillers. So it's also rolled by the Fuente family. So it's got that kind of, you know, Fuente pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that this one thing that definitely stands out to me is this is probably one of the spiciest cigars that I've smoked. And, you know, for a medium cigar, I'm quite surprised at, exactly how spicy this thing is. But I also get, you know, some woody and some creamy textures in there as well. So
you should not combine those two words together in a sentence.
It's okay, dude. We're aficionados, so, I mean.
Aficionados.
Fuck you, all right?
This cigar was
made.
Maybe
one day we'll start recording before we do Beer 30.
Yeah, this cigar was made to celebrate the company's 115th anniversary to honor the founding father, Julius Caesar Newman.
Yeah, I mean, big honors. I mean, like I said, a damn good smoke. I'm with you that, you know, this is probably only my second or third Diamond Crown cigar, but I'm definitely not disappointed. But, you know, I do want to give you folks a heads up that this damn thing is very peppery.
Yeah, it's a balanced sweet and spicy and woody flavors. But yeah, it is a medium cigar. You know,
most creamy.
Did you, dude? No. I mean, most of the cigars I smoke are, you know, black, like I say, black like my soul. So this is kind of a little bit light to me, but it is a good medium cigar. And some of your smokers that don't smoke, you know, the dark shit like I do, will find it, you know, some good strength to it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, at this point too, I mean, it may just be the fact that we're, you know, actually as we smoke the cigar, drinking a glass of water, so we don't really have any conflicting flavors or anything going on. So I think it really allows us to experience the full flavor of the cigar here. So my thoughts is, yes, I would absolutely recommend the cigar. I would not recommend this to somebody that is not already accustomed to smoking cigars, however.
Yeah, it may not be your initial smoke. Yeah, for someone who's more of a aficionado, it's a decent smoke. And with that, I think we'll be right back with our main topic. This is our Star Wars parody and fan film episode. So we'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Careful, you idiot. I said across her nose, not up it.
Sorry, sir. I'm doing my best.
Who made that man a gunner?
I did, sir. He's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that. What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes!
And we're back. Let's see if we can knock the dust off our mics for 2015 and get into this week's topic.
It's a good thing I brought that can of air out before we started recording.
Yeah, I know. Taking that winter break, man, it's kind of threw me off my game a little.
It's looking oh so shiny now, though. I mean, I don't know.
All right, this week, how we came about this topic is I got drunk on Christmas Eve and watched Spaceballs.
And I was there.
And I was like, we should really do an episode about Star Wars parodies and fan films. Because that's one of the things that's always I've always liked kind of about Lucasfilm, and I don't know if it's changed any now that it's a Disney property. They've always really been open to people playing in their universe and, you know, making fun of them and making fun of themselves. You know, a lot of companies could have been
but
like...
But you know what, though? They do it out of a, you know, not necessarily making fun to degrade or take away from anything, but just because of the sheer passion. Like they,
yeah,
you know, these are some of the, you know, diehard people that truly appreciate, you know, all that George Lucas Films had to offer.
Yeah, I mean, and then this, you know, most companies could have been like, no, this all this stuff's copyrighted. You're not allowed to do this, yada, yada, yada. But they've always been real open to, you know, letting people, you know, play in their universe and, you know.
Hey, any publicity is good publicity. I mean, I would almost think that's the mentality.
So let's jump on to the very first, or well, not the first, but the biggest Star Wars parody that everyone knows of, and that's got to be Spaceballs.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched this the other night, and dude, I thought I was going to bust something from laughing throughout the entire movie. I mean, I don't think there was a scene in there that didn't have me chuckling, and you know, I could appreciate the movie so much more after going back and rewatching all of the original Star Wars films and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, since you just recently watched Star Wars, did you get Spaceballs the first time you saw it?
Well,
since you really didn't have the, you know, cultural reference point,
I don't think I could truly appreciate it from a diehard Star Wars fan, you know, point of view, but from, I mean, you know, hanging out with you and Jason and all the other folks and being around comic book stores, I mean, there's been so much Star Wars talk and everything else that I've been exposed to that I almost felt like I didn't need to watch the movies because I had, you know, the insider guys, you know, freaking dropping all kinds of knowledge.
This
so
is
when
why
I got
this
into
is funny.
Star Wars debates and stuff like that, I mean, I would just drop like, oh yeah, well, I heard blah, 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 and they'd be like, whoa, how the hell did you catch on to that? And like, yeah, I didn't even need to see the movies, motherfucker. You can't touch me.
You've had your Star Wars poker face and been bluffing all these years.
Dude, I mean, I used to be the same way. You know, Juice and I, we would go to bars and, you know, he would always get carded. And me being 19 years old, never once got asked to see my ID. And I'm like, dude,
these are not the droids you're looking for.
I'm 19. I mean, I might as well have some freaking psychic paper using the Force or something, you know, just get in my teeth, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Mel Brooks has always been just a genius of the comedy parody films. And we eventually we're going to do a whole episode on Mel Brooks, but there's just so much stuff to watch.
We have that in the calendar already?
I don't know if it is or not. I got to look back at the calendar. But yeah, I was like, it's
going
to take a while to research.
So consider this an official invite. Anybody that's interested in doing a Mel Brooks episode, we're here.
Yeah, even if it's not on the calendar, we can always reshuffle it. But yeah, I mean, Blazing Saddles, all that stuff was amazing. And yeah, this, as being a, you know, Star Wars nerd, was like the ultimate, you know, movie when I was a kid. It was like in 97 or 87. So it was like, you know, 10 years after the original Star Wars. And, you know, like I said, Mel Brooks, Bill Pullman, and, you know, two of the, at that time, biggest comedians, John Candy and Rick Moranis. So, I mean, it's that key 80s comedy.
I mean, I think, you know, I came into the 80s a little bit late. You know, a lot of people tell me I have an old soul because, dude, I find myself going back to the video games that, you know, even before I was born and stuff like that. So being born in 85, I missed out on a lot of the, you know, key stuff. So, I mean, you're almost being able to see what your generation truly appreciates. And then, you know, more so the generation after that with me, you know, coming into the mix. And I mean, it's really awesome to be able to understand the appreciation and the people's passion. You don't find that in film followings anymore today,
yeah,
I don't
and,
think.
I mean, most people who aren't even, say, Star Wars fans or nerd fans, I mean, you mentioned Spaceballs. They know exactly what you're talking about. It almost had, as you know, a big cultural effect as, you know, Star Wars itself. I mean, you know, I'm surrounded by assholes speech. I think everyone knows that, yes, that reference when you're like, how many assholes are on this ship? How many assholes are on this podcast? I knew it. I was surrounded by assholes. Yes.
Damn it. Well, there goes that clip idea. So, yeah, I mean, do we even really want to recap exactly, you know, the plot of the movie or anything? I mean, at this point, most folks, I would say,
yeah, I'm
probably
sure.
Know it. If you don't know it, then by all means, you need to go out and watch this movie.
Yeah, you've got the Han Solo and Chewbacca knockoff of Lone Star and Barth, who is a Mog, part dog, part man. Which I'm like, I should build that costume for Dragon Con, because I'm like, I was talking about, we need good, there's not good fat guy costumes in sci-fi, but a good Barth costume.
No, dude.
I've seen a couple of those at Dragon Con.
I'm going to stop you right there. You know, you already do the steampunk Jabba, so why the hell?
Steampunk Barth?
No. I say you need to do steampunk Pizza the Hut.
Oh, God, Pizza the Hut.
I mean, we just plaster some fucking pepperonis and some cheese on you and, you know, let you have at it, dude. I mean.
Yeah, that was actually voiced by Dom DeLuise, too. I did not realize that until I was going back and, you know, doing some of the research.
So I just remembered seeing his character, and I mean, I nearly rolled out of the bed laughing.
Pizza the Hut. Almost right. Yeah, and their version of the Millennium Falcon is an old Winnebago.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like the Winnebago, you know, the freaking Vespa and everything else that they do. I even like the references to, you know, ludicrous speed and everything. You know,
they've gone to plaid.
I mean, it's so awesome because, you know, in Star Wars and so many of the other, you know, sci-fi films, you want to use geeky scientific terminology, but you don't want to make it overly scientific where the average person, you know, is just like, huh, what the hell? So it was so awesome to just see a dumbed down plain language version of all these references.
Yeah. I mean, when they're jamming the radar, they literally hit it with jam. And they got Michael Winslow, the voice guy from Police Academy, doing the radar stuff.
Oh, I thought his voice was familiar.
Yeah, the guy that's in charge of the radar, that's Michael Winslow. But I mean, and I like when they, I mean, there's so many like self-referential stuff too. Like when they lose them, they have to go to the VHS copy of Spaceballs the movie and fast forward to find where they're hiding.
I mean, you know, there were so many different elements of, you know, the time lapses there, and I mean, I like the whole play on the Force with the Schwartz and everything. And
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders, you had freaking yogurt.
I mean, Mel Brooks played the president of the planet Spaceballs, and Yogurt, the Yoda, fell in. And one thing I knew, that song that the Jawa looking things are singing, that Dink Dink song,
yeah,
is actually a song from it was Bogey's March from a Bridge on the River Kwai, which starred Alec Guinness, the original Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, so I didn't realize that was a reference. So I was like, you know, diving deep into the internet last night doing my research.
Dude, what were you on, like page 12 or 13 of Google when you stumbled across that one? I mean,
I haven't slept in a couple days. There was a lot of Google going on. Google and Legos. But that's one of the big jokes too, like, you know, Yogurt's big thing is merchandising. They're like, we got Spaceballs the lunchbox, Spaceballs the flamethrower.
You know, that was one of the, you know, I guess one of the, you know, caveats, you know, that, you know, George Lucas gave the film, said, hey, I give you permission to use all the characters, the references, but, you're not allowed action to do figures. Any merchandising. So, you know, when the freaking case opens up with all that merchandise, I'm like, holy hell, I want one of all of it.
Yeah.
And I'm so jealous that it'll never come to fruition, that that's probably buried somewhere.
Yeah, the only copies to see of that the light is of like, day. You know, Mel Brooks' office somewhere. But yeah, the and Bill Pullman, too, was kind of an unknown actor at the time. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's a pretty big actor nowadays, but originally he wanted Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks as the main guys, and they turned it down, which I'm kind of glad they did, because the Bill Pullman and John Candy is definitely a better choice in my book.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their place, and I think for this, John Pullman was a way to go.
Bill Pullman.
Yeah. I don't know. I was reading something down here about John, and I'm like, wait, what the hell? So
you fall into another Google hole, didn't you?
I mean, it just happens that way, man. I mean,
and Lucasfilm even did the post-production work on Spaceballs. I mean, that's, like I said, one of the great things. They always let people play in their universe and also, you know, offer up, you know, open the gates to the castle for these people that are wanting to, you know, do some kind of comedic or, you know, fan film stuff. They've never said no, you know, unless it's like something really stupid.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I like all the different parody films, and I mean, that's one thing.
I'm hoping that that, you know, open policy still stands with the Disney ownership now. But yeah, you know, especially they do a Spaceballs too. Mel Brooks is getting kind of old, man. He's hurry up and do it.
Yeah. Do you think there's room for a Spaceballs 2, though? I mean, at this point, you know, do people...
Spaceballs 2, the search for more money.
I mean, I would just be afraid that you see that with so many, you know, sequels where the original is just so spot on. Okay. And then they do, you know, a sequel to that, and it's just, oh, yeah, well, we realized that the first one was so successful and we made money, so now we're going to do a half-assed attempt. Just
as long as they don't reboot it.
More. Yeah. No more freaking reboots. I'm sick of reboots.
That's my official policy at the moment.
You know,
and then
come out with something original.
What was the other thing from? Well, they did more recently. They did a Spaceballs animated series that.
I knew there was a TV series, but I had not watched it yet.
I don't know if it's still there. It was on Netflix for a while, but I think it's expired. But yeah, I watched, and the animated series was actually pretty good.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, a little bit off topic here, but I think next week Netflix is doing another purge, and I hear they are taking Doctor Who away.
What?
Yep.
I heard
so
that one.
Yeah, there's a couple of BBC films actually that they're looking to scrap. So if you're trying to do some catch up or something of that nature, go ahead and get it added to your list. That way, when they do purge, once it becomes available, it'll reappear on your list, and you won't have to worry about searching the deeper, dark depths of Netflix.
Yeah, they've
added a little insider tip.
They've added a bunch of new stuff too for this this season. Bad Boys 2 is up there now, so I watch that. Yeah, that's when shit gets real.
I mean, this is bad, dude. I keep taking us down all these other rabbit holes, and I shouldn't do that.
But back on topic, I guess you'd call it a parody that really got opened up was Fanboys.
Yes.
I mean, I love that movie.
Yeah, and I had not seen Fanboys recently. I watched it, I guess now, 4 years ago? Probably.
Something like that. I mean, it came out.
It came out 2009, wasn't
yeah.
it?
And it was one of those that it didn't make a whole lot of money, and it was kind of hard to find because they said it was going to be released several times, and it kept getting pushed back for various reasons. So I remember actually going on a road trip to find this movie because we'd been seeing the previews for the trailer was up for a long time.
Yeah,
when it finally got released in limited theaters, there was one theater kind of down in Atlanta that was playing it, and me and a bunch of my buddies all took a road trip down there to check it out, and it is hilarious. I mean, if you don't know what the story of it is, basically one of their old high school buddies it's set right before episode one comes out. So he is got 4 months to live. He's got cancer or something. And the movie comes out 6 months from now. So that's the one thing they've kind of all grown apart, but that's the one thing they still had in common was their love of Star Wars. So they decided to go on this epic road trip to Lucasfilm and break in and steal a copy of episode one so their buddy can watch it before he dies.
I remember this one time we went on an epic road trip looking for Dark Helmet.
We finally found it, though. Which that should have been named Spaceballs the Beard to fit all the other movie references.
Well, I don't think that would have been allowed, though. Wouldn't that be technically considered merchandising? I mean, because there's nothing technically here that says Spaceballs on it.
I think he
it.
Specifically said no action figure, so I think the other stuff would have been fine. Yeah, the fanboys too. I mean, there's that's one of those that the original version they showed to Lucas, and he was like, I really like this. Here's access to all the sound effects and movie props. And even they, as I said, even they got cameos from a lot of the stars. Carrie Fisher's in it. Lando's in it. The guy who plays Dre Park, Darth Maul, plays like one of the Lucasfilm security guards. I mean, he was like, I enjoy this. So here, have access to everything. And so that's one of the reasons it kind of got delayed, because they went back and refilmed some stuff and like added some stuff.
Yeah, I really need to go back and, dude, freaking Seth Rogen and all these other folks. I mean,
Seth Rogen plays like three different parts in that.
Yeah, I mean, you got Seth Rogen, you got Danny Trejo. I mean, you got a couple of big names that, are essentially not
freaking Shatner's in it. I mean, Shatner's like one of the guy they get the plans to Lucasfilm from. He's the one that gives them all the stuff they need to break into it. And like, they go through all this stuff to see it, and they're like, what if it sucks? Which was hilarious, because we all know, episode one was not the best rendition.
Yeah, and I like, some of the other, like freaking Hutch's van with the Slave 2 license plate.
I want that van, because it was all done up like Millennium Falcon on the inside. It even had like an R2-D2 on top.
So, dude, that should be a project. We should find an old beater van and, freaking Star Wars and nerd the hell out of the thing and on a freaking cross Georgia road trip, since apparently we can't go cross country because our work schedules suck.
I got vacation time. My vacation time's reset.
Dude,
we can do it.
I got 56 hours of vacation time this week. I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, we need to go. We need to go to the Star Wars celebration in California, or that one they have in Florida.
I'd be willing. I want to do a West Coast road trip. And yeah. I think, you got the George Lucas Awards that I hear are coming back for 2014. And that takes place in Anaheim, California. I mean, that may be an excuse
road trip,
I think it's going to take us a couple days to drive there or whatever. But, hey, we can make it happen.
I mean,
we can stop in Texas along the way and get our 99 case of beer.
Yeah. Well, going back to, way old school, the Muppets did a Star Wars episode back in the old Muppet Show, because I mean, Frank Oz,
dude,
did
episode 417. I mean, dude, I can remember wake up on freaking Saturday mornings and the Muppet being on, being a younger kid and stuff like that, being all excited. But when they did the Star Wars bit, I mean, I just
and going back and watching some of that stuff, I mean, I forgot how good that show was. I mean, it holds up. It's not just a kid's show. I mean, there's a lot of humor in there for adults, especially if you're on a nostalgia kick like we are. And the, like I said, Frank Oz I'm blanking on his name, the Muppet creator, Jim Henson, did a lot of work on Star Wars. I mean, Frank Oz was Yoda, so it's kind of cool that they brought their Star Wars creations into the Muppets universe. But it had Mark Hamill, R2-D2, C-3PO, Chewbacca, all those guys were in that episode. I think that's the whole thing, is like Chewbacca's missing and they come there looking for Chewbacca and end up, getting
love the entry point, where it shows Luke, 3CPO and R2-D2 just smash through the wall out of nowhere like, hey, we're looking for Chewbacca. Anybody seen Chewbacca? And Kermit's just so excited, holy crap, we have real badass guests coming on the episode. Yeah. Folks are going to love this.
And what's funny is they're like, Luke doesn't want to do anything for the show, but he's like, hey, my cousin's an actor. I can get him to come on. And it's actual Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And they don't want to have anything to do with him.
Well, I think, Kermit sees his performance and is like, man, this guy is not what we were looking for at all.
Yeah. He's like, come on, let me on the show. And they're like, nah, Mark, it's cool. Yeah, we don't need you.
You had freaking Piggy playing Princess Leia. And,
yeah, because they always had that, Pigs in Space, that was kind of their Star Trek ripoff. But, they had, so like Luke and all them were on, the Pigs in Space thing, and it was funny as shit.
Freaking Gonzo playing, freaking Darth Nader. He's actually holding Chewbacca prisoner. And sorry for the spoilers, folks. I guess we should have prefaced.
Yeah, it's from 1980, so if you haven't seen it by now, spoiler. Yeah.
Hey, whatever, dude. Sometimes I'm 20, a couple decades behind the times, all right? I mean,
and that episode is on YouTube, too, so y'all can go back and check that out.
Yeah, this looking for this episode, I seriously fell down some bad YouTube Star Wars holes in my endeavors, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Speaking of something that more recent Star Wars parodies, the Family Guy trilogy of Star Wars episodes.
Go ahead, laugh it up, Fuzzball.
That's the title of the box set you can get. Yeah, it was always the power went out and there was nothing to do. So Peter Griffin tells the family the story of Star Wars, and like I said, all the Family Guy characters are Star Wars characters, which I loved. Cleveland is R2-D2.
Yes,
and it was just like R2-D2 with a big ass afro.
Had freaking Quagmire's 3CPO. Stewie as freaking Darth Vader, but who didn't see that coming?
Yeah.
Brian as Chewbacca, I thought was absolutely hilarious. Which, Brian's always, I guess, been one of my favorite characters. I mean, he's always kind of been a little bit of the witty asshole, but at the same time, more of the realist, down-to-earth
type.
Like
Mort as Lando.
And what about Herbert as Obi-Wan
Herbert the
Kenobi.
Pervert as Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think you see one where his lightsaber doesn't go all the way up anymore, so he kind of limps over.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a phallus lightsaber, and all of a sudden, Chris makes an appearance or bends over or something and erects the lightsaber, and I'm just like, it's so wrong. But
or when he's like trying to do the whole where he puts the helmet on and he's like, try it without your eyes, and he's like, I can't see anything, and he kicks him in the nuts. and the running gag of it, you never see. Meg is never an actual character. She's always some kind of disgusting monster. She's that thing in the garbage disposal of the Death Star. I think she's also the Sarlacc pit later on. It's like she's... Meg's always just something gross.
Who's the dude that every time they showed him, he's always scrubbing the floor and a dead body would hit. And he'd be like, damn it, another one. What's going on?
Oh, no, that's from the robot chicken.
Never mind. Okay. All right, I'm mixing the two up. So...
Yeah, that's that
it's what happens when you binge watch.
Yeah.
Shit gets crisscrossed. Dude, a robot chicken Family Guys mesh up to do Star Wars.
Well, pretty much, Seth Green is in both shows. And it's funny, too, because they're like, they kind of, Peter Griffin, which is Seth MacFarlane, and Ed Chris, who is Seth Green of Robot Chicken, they get in this argument about, he's like, isn't this whole storyline just ripping off Robot Chicken, Star Wars? And they kind of go back and forth.
I like all the different, cameos that they, reference.
He's like, all Seth Rogen movies, or Seth Green movies suck. They're just kind of going back and forth with each other in the episode.
Dude, so I got to hand it to you because as soon as I saw it, all I could think of was our freaking, X-Wings miniature battles. But what about freaking Joe Swanson as Biggs?
Oh,
just said I saw it and I nearly lost it. It was so appropriate. And then, like I said, I just remembered getting my arse kicked as we tried to duke it out.
We need to play some more of that. And the robot, like I said, you already mentioned the robot chicken stuff. That the three robot chicken episodes of Star Wars has been hilarious, and that's one too that Lucas was like, these are funny as shit. Y'all should. Play with everything and let them have all access to all the sound effects and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely. In fact, I saw the parodies before I even actually watched the movies themselves. So it's awesome to go back after watching the movies and rewatch the parodies. But now I want to go back and rewatch the movies again, and it's going to be like an infinite loop and. It's going
to
be bad. Like,
I still
the
need
basement's
to get
going to get all blacked out, and all of a sudden there's going to be Millennium Falcons and Death Stars. And
I still want to get the old get the Blu-ray box
set. Freaking 80s model cars. I'm going to have, a whole bunch of freaking Star Wars models plastered everywhere.
The Yeah, I mean, the Robot Chicken one had such great skits. I think one of my favorite one is the Palpatine receiving the call after the first Death Star explodes, and he's talking to Vader.
Oh,
and like, what the fuck's an aluminum falcon?
Dude, there were so many bleeps in that segment that I was like, holy hell. If we had to edit our podcast, yeah. I mean...
It's like, what? Build another one? Who's going to pay for that? Who's going to sign for a loop? So, where you've just been flying around your ship for like a week? Jeez, it must smell like bacon wrapped ass or something. I forget. He just starts making fun of Vader and he starts crying and stuff. I mean, oh, and there's like the Boba Fett ones too are just hysterical. Like where he shows Boba Fett like after he's captured Han Solo and he starts like making, you know, talking shit to him, and then he's like, "So you want a little piece of Boba?" And starts like making out with Han Solo in the carbonite.
Yeah, I mean, I like that one. I like the...
Breckenmeyer's Boba Fett is always hysterical when he shows up on Robot Chicken.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the freaking AT-AT pilot, you know, sitting on the toilet. You know?
When Luke throws the grenade in.
Yes.
Oh, and there's that one, too, where he's like that guy that gets his arm cut off in the bar, where he's like an architect and a family guy, and his drunk buddy, but he doesn't speak English. So his drunk buddy's like, yeah, telling Luke that, you know, he's threatening him. And he's like, no, it's all good, man. I haven't done anything. And he like chops his arm off.
Oh man. I mean, there are just so many good ones. I like in the second chapter where George Lucas attends the Star Wars convention and tries to, escape with the freaking nerd Tatooine?
Tauntaun, yeah. So, yeah, Tauntaun. From Hoth. Yeah, that one guy, he just like rides him.
Yeah.
Which Simpsons did something like that too, where Luke Skywalker or like Mark Hamill almost gets like jumped at a Star Wars convention and Homer has to like save him and becomes his like bodyguard.
The freaking Millennium Falcon and ordering the Chinese food as an alternative.
when the space worm. I think there's I remember a skit in there where there's like a big fight breaks out at a Star Wars convention, like Star Wars versus Star Trek or something. Because I remember Spock is one of the guys in it. But yeah, the Robot Chicken Seth Green has always done like some great stuff of that, and like I said, all the Boba Fett ones. With Breckenmeyer doing the voice.
Yeah, I think one of them that really stands out, and, you know, once again, this is right up Seth Green's alley just from the political aspects, but the freaking George W. Bush skit.
Yes!
Where, you know, you got freaking...
gets into like a he's like going around
you know, convinces Laura and Condoleezza Rice to have a threesome.
And then he throws Clinton's car in the lake.
Yep. Then defaces the Lincoln Memorial, and then him and Abraham Lincoln duel it out.
He's like, oh yeah, when he wakes up and he starts trying to use the Force again, he's like, "You will bring me tacos."
Yes.
Because honestly, if you had the Force, I'd be like, "Bring me tacos."
We did find weapons of mass destruction. No, sir, we didn't. You did. No, we didn't.
Bring me tacos.
Bring me tacos.
Yes, sir.
God,
works. And the
does that work? Where's Rachel? Tacos.
And the one where they're like it's on the Death Star.
That has worked. Oh wait, that was McDonald's.
Yeah. Where they're like Vader can't really force choke people. We just all pretend. So he doesn't kill us for real with a lightsaber, and we just reassign you to another section of the Death Star. So anytime we try to force you, he's like, "Oh, you pretend, and we'll just move you somewhere else."
Which I was a little bit confused when that skit opened, because I was like, "Wait a second, did the dude really get choked out, or is he just that good of an actor first go round?" Like, oops, we had a minor hiccup here. Maybe
that would be a good prank to like play on like the new recruits. Yeah, don't worry about it, man. If Vader force chokes you, it's not real. We just pretend, and then the dude actually gets choked out. He'd be like, "Yeah, fuck you, Vader!" Ha ha ha! Oh shit, it's real.
This is all bad.
Well, I mean, there's also just great fan films, and yeah, a lot of cool, you know, fan produced stuff. That, I mean, some of the stuff looks legit, like it could be like a professional production of stuff. And one of the ones I found recently, I thought was funny. Have you seen the R2-D2 subtitles?
Yes.
That cracked me up.
That's hilarious.
Where it's like they've taken all these scenes from Star Wars where it's just, you know, beep, 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 and added, like, subtitles so you can see what R2-D2 is actually saying. And R2-D2 is, like, just an asshole.
Next, they're going to do that with freaking Groot. I can already foresee it.
Yeah, Groot with subtitles. He's like probably like, damn it, Rocket, that's not what I'm really saying. Yeah. Rocket's Axel, the one Axel knows like, what he's saying. But yeah, let's get into the I don't know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Star Wars fan films. You know, actually, they have been having a yearly competition where like they actually do give out awards to some of the best Star Wars fan films. I mean, they even did a few TV specials. I remember one of them was hosted by Kevin Smith, where it was kind of like the Academy Awards of Star Wars films.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, there was an inaugural contest back in 2002. And then, you know, in 2007, the contest was renamed to Star Wars Fan Movie Challenge. And then in 2012, Lucasfilm announced that it was going to be discontinued. However, as I touched on previously, it looks like that for the year 2014, official Star Wars website that the Fan Film Awards will be returning this year. So,
sweet. I can't wait to see that.
All right. So well, I mean, 2014's already happened. I haven't seen anything for 2014, but maybe the website sources are out of date, which because there was a lot of fan films from 2014 that I found on YouTube with some pretty substantial hits.
So what's some of your, you know, go back and forth here. What's some of your favorite fan films that you found in your deep diving of the net?
Let's see here. There was one.
We'll
that
start
I,
with the good and get to the not
yeah,
so good.
Yeah, I just recently. I apologize. I got a bookmark here of some of my favorites, so
well,
it'll take me a second to.
Well, while you're looking up, I'll go ahead and jump in with one of mine. Hughes the Force. That's one that I absolutely love. It was first time I saw it was on actually Dragon Con TV, and then later I found it on the internet. But it was, I mean, it's a big one too. It's like a 30-minute movie. And it combined Star Wars and weird science and all those like John Hughes 80s comedies, and it is absolutely hysterical because it's these guys, you know, nerds trying to find a girl to bring to a so they can get to this high school party, so they pull the weird science trick and try to bring a Leia action figure to life, and you know, like
don't
I said,
tell me you haven't tried that.
I did. It didn't work. I didn't have an old enough computer. Apparently, I have to get one of those 80s computers for it to work. Because they were using like an Apple IIe, I think. Yeah, but she gives them like actual Jedi powers and stuff. And they go to this bar and she turns all the people into Star Wars characters. And they actually have, I can't remember his name right now, but the guy who does the voice of Obi-Wan and all the current animated stuff.
Yeah.
He's in it. Kevin Smith does a cameo and kind of like sends them on their way. And I mean, it is just like bad. I was like, this is what would happen if we had Jedi powers.
Yeah, the one that I watched most recently was Retribution. And I guess the thing that appealed most to me is it was all shot locally.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. I forgot that was the name of it. Yeah, that was, you know, filmed, you know, here in... That one actually I saw on the news. They
I mean, it's actually directed by Chris Conley, anybody that's into sports, which is a Georgia football player, so...
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it's all filmed at UGA, and they had a bunch of the 501st and Mandalorian Mercs guys in there, so there's...
Dude, those costumes are just straight up badass.
And I mean, like I said, there's this huge epic battle between Mandalorians and Stormtroopers, like, on the campus. You even see Coach Mark Rick is, like, he's sitting there, like, listening to music, on, doing something on his iPad, and, like, there's this whole battle going on behind him. He doesn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, the dynamic of the film, and this was one of the ones that the special effects and everything on this were pretty top-notch, I thought, you know... I mean, and it was a pretty significant runtime. I mean, this one's over, you know, 25 minutes long. So, I mean, this wasn't, you know, some of the other 2-3 minute, you know, films
that's been
that we
a big,
have seen.
A
so.
Big jump in, like, the fan films is, I mean, there's now programs for lightsabers you can get where it's, you know, you basically kind of trace your stuff and it does your lightsaber animations automatically almost. So now that we've got to the level of technology.
Well, I mean, since you're now our freaking, you know, actor and, special effects guru.
Stretching it.
Dude, I saw the special effects. I saw when the freaking jumper cables were put together and the sparks fly. And
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the technology has gotten to the point where, you know, people can do this special effects stuff at home. You don't need, you know, massive computers.
So, next question.
Yeah.
Why the hell have we not done this already?
Because we're lazy.
Oh, yeah, because we have too much other shit that we're trying to accomplish.
Hey, that's maybe something for the YouTube channel. We do a Star Wars parody video whenever we get around to getting the camera and stuff.
We went from having to get a GoPro, now we're going to need freaking million-dollar production set up.
No, like I said, you know, some GoPros, cameras, and whatnot. Like I said, like the technology is there. Where most of the stuff you can do, you know, on your own, yeah, that's what these other guys are
doing.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good with audio editing. I've never experienced video editing, though, so...
Time to YouTube and learn some shit. Yeah, speaking of the lightsaber stuff, the Ryan versus Dorkman videos.
Dude, those are hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, and those have gotten some awards at the for special effects. And it basically started off these guys kind of like doing a, you know, demo for their, you know, special effects video editing. And it's just like this epic lightsaber battle between these two guys. You know, but there's no story to it. It's just these two dudes having like a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're in some kind of warehouse. I mean, you see all the pallets just laying around and stuff, but...
I mean, it looks like some shit from, you know, one of the Star Wars movies. There's, you know, lightsaber hits on walls and stuff, and they're using the Force, and it's like just two regular dudes. They're not even in costumes. They're just like in street clothes, and for some reason have lightsabers and are fighting it out. But I mean, the VR on that stuff is like just, I mean, amazing. I mean, it looks like some movie quality, you know, lightsaber work.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised at the, you know, the actors appear very young, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, shit, why wasn't I doing something at that age? But
yeah, I mean, when that first one came out, they were, you know, probably, you know, 18, 19, you know, high school or whatever, college kids.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the second Ryan versus Dorkman was actually in 2008 won Best Visual Effects. I mean, that's pretty substantial on my list. I mean,
yeah,
hell, if I had a, you know, wish somebody would rank me and say, hey, you achieved something, here's an award.
Hey man, we can shoot for some of them podcasting awards. We
yeah, we don't have any cool trophies or anything to vouch for that yet, though.
Yeah, so if anybody's out there going to nominate people for podcasting awards,
bad. I see this,
we throw our hat in the ring.
I see this as like a freaking tabletop ending. All right, here's your trophy of awesome. I'm gonna dry marker your name here. Yeah. All right. So
we at least want a participation trophy.
So trophy gets recycled, your name wiped off, and we have nothing permanent to display.
That's
in the
We won't get any real podcasting awards. We'll just get like some kind of participation trophy.
You did a real good job. We're proud.
Yeah, the
participation awards.
Yeah, Mike at the ESOs are handing out, you know, participation trophies for us. but yeah, and some of the What's some other fan films that made your list?
Well, I would say they're films, the Saber films, you know.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, I mean, just check out, you know, Google Saber Claire Grant, and it's a series of three movies, and I think a couple of them are directed by Seth Green, where it's basically a takeoff on the Axe commercials, you know, where these two girls like hit
like
on the
Adam Green and Mike. Civiento, maybe?
I don't know. I know the second one's directed by Seth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, these two girls that are hitting on the same guy, and it, you know, they start fighting it out lightsaber style, and it just, you know, clothes are getting chopped off, and it's basically like the weirdest Axe commercial you've ever seen.
Actually, I think it's what every Axe commercial intended to be. I mean, I could see a bunch of teenage boys going out and buying, you know, bottles of this stuff, just hoping that they're in a comic book store. And that, dude, I got it. That explains why there's so much Axe fragrance spray in every
it's
comic book
of these
store.
Videos.
Yes,
they're like, we saw hot girls having a lightsaber fight. We've got to buy this stuff. I mean, in the second one, I think is my favorite so far, where it's the two girls are dog groomers and they've come to clean Chewbacca, and end up getting into a fight over Chewbacca. Oh, and then the third one
ends
is
up all dialed up toward the end with all the freaking pink froofy bows and everything.
And the third one is called Revenge of the Threesome, which is now it's like they're doing an old Star Wars toy commercial, and someone sprays the toys down with the saber axe spray, and the girls start fighting over the toys. It's but it looks like it's straight out of the early 80s.
adult film section.
Oh God, no.
We'll stay away from those parodies.
But yeah, they're out there. I mean, yeah, like every good movie, there eventually is a porn parody of it, and the Star Wars one is just, what can I say? It's something you can't unsee. When Chewbacca has a sex scene, it's like, nope, and just skip it.
We're done.
Skip it.
We're done here. Nothing to see, folks.
The Wookiee win.
You can have all your. You can have all the Slave Leia fantasies you want, but yeah, some things we're just going to have to stay away from.
Wookiee porn is not a good night. I mean, it's... Oh, and I thought the 70s were bad.
Ask for the Wolfman.
And, like, some of the comedy stuff, too, the fan films. I mean, there's a couple fan films that I vaguely remember that I can't remember the names of now, but there's one I saw that's a Boba Fett fan film that is badass. It's a... he's trying to hunt down Mace Windu because he's killed his father, and Vader lied to him and told him Mace Windu's still alive and getting him to hunt down the last of the Jedis. So, like, when he comes back and finds out the truth, he's all pissed off, and him and Vader get into a fight. And in this fan film, it shows that's how Fett got the dent in his helmet. It's because, like, you know, Vader hit him or something. It was kind of cool in that regard, but, I mean, the costuming and effects on that was good. I mean, it was definitely... something involving the 501st, because I mean all the costumes are movie level quality. I wish I could remember the name of it, but some of the comedic videos and stuff I've seen. One of my favorites is Chad Vader Day Manager.
Yes, that is I think that was probably one of the first comedic parodies that I watched.
And that one I think won like the big award, like best fan film of that year. I think it was 2007. But yeah, it's Darth Vader, or it's supposed to be Darth Vader's like cousin Chad, and he's a day manager at like Publix or Kroger or something like that. So it's like, yeah.
At some point, we've been there. I can totally relate. It's like, I'm at a dead end job. How do I make it awesome? Well, I'm going to become Chad Vader. That's how you make it awesome. Take it to the next level.
Yeah, and just like the Dark Lord of the Sith having to just deal with like mundane life, and no one actually respects them.
Let's see here. This one I didn't get to see, but the title intrigued me. It's Star Wars Grindhouse. Don't go in the Ender Woods.
I've not even seen that.
I just the name intrigued me because I saw Grindhouse and I was like, there's only one definition of Grindhouse, so that's one we're definitely gonna have to
Star Wars Machete
take a look at here. I mean, I mean, who knows? Do you get a version of Death Race? Do you get, you know, freaking, you know, a version of apocalyptic zombies and just lightsaber all out, you know, duos? Or, dude, a lightsaber leg? Is that even a thing? Can it be a thing?
Oh, no, we get the tri-saber coming out now. And I saw recently someone remix the Force Awakens trailer and used Spaceballs footage. So it's the Swartz Awakens. And that actually looks pretty sweet.
So, I mean...
Oh, and Saturday Night Live recently did one. They made fun of the Force Awakens trailer. And it's like, you know, new heroes meet old heroes. And then in the Saturday Night Live version, it's, you know, all the original characters, but they're all, like, really, really old. Like that black stormtrooper goes to, like, the bar trying to find... He's talking to Han, and he's like, Han can't hear him. He's like, I'm looking for Luke Skywalker. And he's like... What was that again, son? Luke Skywalker. I remember Luke Skywalker. What were we talking about again?
He's like just suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah. You see
something?
Luke, and he has like a lightsaber walker. He's all like old as shit. And there's one part they're in the Millennium Falcon, and they're going like 2 miles an hour with their blinker on, like old people, and they're just like, go around us. Chewbacca's got one of those dog surgery cones on his head. It's freaking hilarious.
That's awesome. I mean, there's been so many, I mean, the way the films are categorized and everything else, I mean, you get everything from animation to documentaries to
College Humor
comedies.
Yeah, thinking about the comedy, too, College Humor did one called Troopers, I think it was, and it was basically like just the troopers on the Death Star. There's like one part, like, Leia's in the jail cell, and apparently the force field doesn't work, so they're trying to convince her that the force field is working, and one of them's just humming. He's like, see, it's working. He's like, you know what I mean? She's like, no, it isn't. No, it is. It's just, you know, if you touch, it's going to shock the hell out of you.
Yeah, isn't that one that I think Leia comes out and actually ends up being the badass of the group or something?
I can't remember. And then there's a they did a cops there's a cops takeoff that's it's done like cops but it's stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And there's even a trooper version of Clerks where it's, you know, Dante and Randall are stormtroopers at like the
that one I need to watch.
The convenience store on the Death Star.
So what do we got going on at the video store? Or the roof? I don't know. I mean, so films, sides. I mean, another aspect to the parodies that I was really intrigued by is the different musicals that were inspired. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, Robot Chicken and freaking Family Guy, the music and the scoring to the parodies. Dude,
yeah.
I want those on freaking soundtrack. I did not look to see if soundtracks were available, but if so, that needs to be on our everyday playlist.
Yeah. And there's one other like kind of animated one that's a stop motion animated using the Lego Star Wars things, and it's the Black Stormtrooper, and it's voiced by what's the guy's name? Danny Glover or not Danny Glover? Cameron, the guy from Scrubs. He does it, and it's pretty funny, but. Going into, you mentioned music. There's a lot of Star Wars music parodies too out there that are, you know, good. Like I said, Weird Al has done a few. I mean, he did originally the Yoda. I think was the first Weird Al Star Wars song that I remember hearing.
Yeah, that was the first big one. Then the Star Wars gangster rap.
Yeah, and that one won the animated version of that won some of the awards on the.
Yeah, it looks like Audience Choice in 2002.
Yeah, I think it also won like Best Animated Feature 1 year too. Because that Star Wars gangster rap, I've got that on my iPod. Man, I drive around jamming out to that. It's it's a good song, and of course the epic rap battles. You know, they've done the 3-part, you know, Star Wars versus Hitler, Vader versus Hitler raps.
Yeah, and didn't we do some of the skits on our? Yeah, we do some of the.
I think
skits,
we. I think we have
at least
played.
Made references. Yeah. I feel like at some point we need to go in and, you know, do.
And then Weird Al also did the episode one song too when that came out on one of his more recent albums, and of course the song everyone knows, Fetz Vet. I mean, anyone who like when I mention going to see MC Chris, people are like, yeah. Who's MC Chris? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, Fetz Vet. Like, oh, that guy.
Either
you're
that like, or Peanut Butter Jelly Jam.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the first MC Chris song I heard was Fetz Vet.
Dude, so. I think I remember that. Do you remember, this is back before, well, satellite and cable may have been around, but I was a kid and my parents damn sure didn't pay for TV, but there was a channel called The Box, and they played
vaguely
music. Anyway, there was a Fetz Vet video that, you know, got played on it occasionally that I thought.
Yeah, I've seen an animated version. People used stuff from that whatever Star Wars Galaxy game and animated it to Fetz Vet.
Dude, all right, we keep talking about this. We need to learn how to animate and do some stuff like that. I mean, I will seriously like go all out, freaking put together some plastic scale models and stuff. And
we've got the YouTube channel. We're just going to start using it.
So anybody that's got wisdom, words of advice, useful tools, resources, yes. Software,
we need
knowledge.
Someone to show us how to do video editing.
We need all of these things.
Yeah. What's some other fan film stuff?
The Sith Tradition is one that I watched earlier. It was all right. You know, basically you got a Sith apprentice that battles his master for the mantle of Dark Lord. And then, you know, kind of a like behind the scenes documentary style. It was pretty good. A little bit on the shorter side. It's just about 9 minutes. You know, there was, I think we touched on Troops already.
Oh, and yeah, MC Chris did another Star Wars. Well, he did a whole like a Star Wars album nearly because he had the Dengar's dump truck or something like that, and there was like Bosk on a Segway, IG-88's 57 Chevy. I think that's probably one of my favorite of the his like Star Wars bounty hunter raps. And there's one. It's up on YouTube too. It's pretty good. Is the it's a parody of that song riding solos, or it's, but yeah, it's a whole Han Solo song that he's done that's really good.
Let's see, and I'm just trying to do a little bit of some of the more popular stuff that we have.
Well, we've talked about the good. Let's talk about the ugly when it comes to Star Wars fan made stuff. And I think the number one thing on my list, and I've got to give a shout out to one of our listeners who sent me this, Danny Duchesne. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Danny, I'm sorry, I butchered your last name. You know who you are. The Turkish Star Wars. That is the most what the fuck thing I think I watched during my whole like YouTube.
It's still what the fuck. I think I was speechless when I was watching it. I didn't quite know how to react to it. I was just like, "What's going on here?" Like,
yeah, it's, oh man, it's basically took like they took scenes from Star Wars and edited together with some like just bizarre Turkish action film. That's not in English at all. And it's just, I mean, just absolutely insane. I mean, it's not even English either. Yeah, it's Danny Boucher, or was the guy that sent it to us, if I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, and it's like not in English whatsoever. And it is just bizarre. I was like, how do I get like this 3 minutes of my life back? Oh, and also there's one, I saw one too that was just really weird. Called Hardware Wars, that was actually from like the late 70s, and it's Star Wars done with like hardware store items as the props. Like the Death Star is like an iron, I mean not Death Star, the Star Destroyer is like an iron flying through space, and there's like TIE fighters made out of toaster irons, and I mean it is just, you know, just weird to watch.
Yeah, I was just trying to look up, I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, necessarily knock people's, you know, takes on different parodies and stuff. I mean, for me, strictly from the aspect that, hey, if you're able to produce something and get it live and get it out there and it's watchable, yeah, you've far surpassed, you know, my wealth of knowledge in
that
aspect.
Yeah, we're just talking shit in the nerd cave. Yeah, we've not produced anything ourselves, so there's really nothing I can say is bad, but those... And even those, you know, like I said, they were more just, you know, the WTF, just weird, you know. But, you know, get out and create stuff, folks. You know, it doesn't matter what
I mean,
it looks
that's one
like,
thing
as long as
in talking about the
something.
Parodies, watching. Yeah, that's one thing that I really enjoy about the podcast in general and the ESO Network is all the creativity and everything else that I am now inspired that have always been thoughts in my head. But now I'm like, hey, I'm going to get off my ass and actually make some of this shit come to fruition.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, what something looks like. You know, if you have an idea and you want to be creative, get out there and do it, man. I mean, find something that you're passionate about and, you know, create it.
Check it out. I got pieces of a lamp over there on the podcasting table with, you know, a wooden staff. I'm going to turn that into a freaking steampunk lightsaber. Just cause.
Yeah, save that for our steampunk episode. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Like I said, definitely, you know, hit the YouTubes, check out these fan videos and... Go back and watch some Spaceballs.
Just be prepared. You will fall down some deep holes.
Oh, yeah. There's so much stuff out there to watch. And like I said, it's all of it's entertaining. We'll be right back with some Beer 30.
Stay tuned.
I met him in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name and in a raspy voice he said Yoda. Y-O-D-A Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-Yoda.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30. And we're back. Time for the first Beer 30. It feels like it's been a year since we've done one of these, man.
Man, I'm all rusty. I don't know how to work the mixing board or the Zoom console or anything. I mean, if we even get a podcast out to the world, then...
Yeah, we should not have took that winter, like, you know, extra week off because now we're all rusty and shit. And it's been too long since we've had a beer.
Dude, it's been an entire year.
Yeah. So, in that regard, what are we smoking today, Brad? Or drinking. Yeah, I done fucked up, you know, that, dude. Like I said, it's that week off, man. I'm all rusty. I can't remember what segment
we're
recording.
It's okay, man. I'll guide you through the segments. Okay. All right. I'll start prompting with some intro music, or I'll get up and dance or something. You know, we'll figure it out. So, today we've got a special treat. We are drinking the Dark Helmet by Westbrook Brewing. And,
I figure that fit in with our Spaceballs esque theme this week. The Westbrook Brewing. It's based out of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. So it's technically not a local beer, but it's close enough. I mean, you can drive to South Carolina.
It's a couple hour to drive. I mean, you can make it. Although, I'm surprised. We're starting to see this pop up in more stores here in Georgia. And how many epic quests did we go on trying to find this beer for how many years and we couldn't locate it?
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing a friend of mine found it in like in Atlanta somewhere. We went down there looking for it and they were already sold out. So it's one of those things I've kept my eye out for a while. And we just happened to, stop in to get a beer and it's like, oh, crap, there's the Dark Helmet and there's plenty of them.
40 miles outside of Atlanta where the population is like 1,200, mind you.
Yeah. Middle of, yeah. So, yeah, if you're in the Dawsonville area, you can find Westbrook at Dawson Fine Wine. They have the Dark Helmet.
You know, talking about the beer, this is going to be a German-style black lager that's brewed with 10% malted rye, chocolate, and Khalifa malts. And it's going to give your beer your dark color, ludicrously smooth and roasty flavor. I got to say, dude, the temperature outside is 12 degrees, and I'm so happy this beer is in my glass because the instant I started drinking it, I was like, ah, there's a subtle warmth that comes upon me.
Yeah, it's a redonkulously cold day out today, and this is a good good cold weather beer. And
You know what? I got to say, though, I'm a little bit surprised that you would think with the darker color and everything, the overall body of the beer, it drinks like a lighter beer. Yeah, I mean, this is something that
this is definitely a lager and not a stout, so it's a little bit smoother than, it doesn't feel as thick as some of the other stout beers we've drank. And it's only a 5.9 ABV and 25 IBUs, so it's not that bitter and it's not that heavy.
So that means we'll be able to get through, this portion into our next segment. And I'll actually be able to speak normally. I won't be slurring. I won't forget what segment we're in, even though you've already fucked that one up for us. But, hey, we can't all be winners.
Yeah. And this is the let me talk about the bottle this thing comes into. If you are a Spaceballs fan, you want to have this in your collection. I mean, because it's got Dark Helmet's picture on the bottle. There's like, the little Spaceballs troopers on the bottle. It even says, "May the Schwartz be with you." I mean, for a kind of a joke movie reference beer, this is a damn good beer. I mean, you really taste that chocolatey flavor, too. I'm getting definitely a lot of chocolate on the first hit.
Yeah, see, now that my beer's come up to temperature, I've kind of lost it. I mean, this beer, you're almost getting three different beers in a single glass. I mean, this, beer ultimately it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So as the flavors progress, they blend very well without anything overpowering the other ingredients, and I mean it's very well rounded and
kind of like a Spaceballs helmet.
Yeah, I mean, being a geek and everything else, I can't wait to put this freaking bottle up in my collection. In fact, I think I may go get a shadow box or something and figure out a way to frame it and put some stage lighting or something there just to draw the added attention. I'll put the Ecto-1 model next to it or something.
Nice Rick Moranis set. You have the Spaceballs there. You have the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters. put like some Honey the Shrunk the Kids stuff in there or something. Just round it out.
Get some ants. Sprinkle some ants.
Yeah, there you go. We could put some ants in it. I think that'll about wrap this up on Beer 30.
Hold on.
You got some more?
Yo. Dude,
what do you got?
Your official untapped beer rating and go.
Oh yeah, the thing we forget about every episode. I'm giving this one a 4.5. I like the hell out of this beer. It's high ranking for me.
You know what? I don't know if it's so much the beer or just the artwork or everything, but fuck it, I'm going straight up 5.
Ooh, high end. That's like the first 5. All right, and on that note, we'll be right back with some science.
Stay tuned.
And we're back. Time for some science. I'm almost afraid to ask this question because it has been, you know, a while. Are you ready to learn some shit, Brad?
Man,
are you ready to get knowledge dropped?
There's already been so much knowledge over the course of last year that can my brain withstand another year of knowledge? I don't know if I can spongily contain all the knowledge. At some point, this shit's going to overflow out of my eyes, ears.
I have this vision for when we do our, like, one-year anniversary pod, just doing, like, a flashback episode, and having, like, a list of all the different excuses you've used through the through the course of the year.
At some point, I'm going to learn so much knowledge that I can't physically learn any more knowledge. My brain's just going to go boom, and I'm going to have head splody power.
It's going to be like that movie, the Quentin Tarantino, not Quentin Tarantino, Johnny Mnemonic, where he had to delete his childhood to fit extra information. You're going to have to start forgetting stuff to be able to hold the information I give you.
Exactly. So, I mean, now there's that.
Damn, I just learned something. I forgot what we did Tuesday.
But to answer your question, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. Yeah, staying on our futuristic Star Wars and Spaceballs episode, let's talk about some lasers. Pew, 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 pew.
Big pew? Little pew?
Big pew.
Multiple pews? Single pew. I need all the pews, and I'm not talking church pews.
The Navy now has laser weapons. We have, like, our first, you know, actual functioning laser weapons.
Man, I feel like I should insert some kind of cheesy laser effect or, like, go and find one of my old toys or something, this old school laser gun, just...
I'm sure we can find that later and add it in. It's called the LAWS system, and I think it's laser something other weapon system. I forgot to look up what that acronym stood for. But yeah, the Office of Naval Research.
How am I ever going to learn if you're not here to teach me?
Yeah.
I mean, Google. It's just like, how can you have any meat if you don't eat your pudding?
Quick,
I mean,
to the Googles! Yeah, the Office of Naval Research has gone into, like, the final stage of testing for this laser system. They have it currently mounted on the USS Ponce, which... It's kind of funny for, you know, local reference, yeah. Because I already know some, like, weird stuff happens on Ponce in Atlanta, so, you know, the USS Ponce, that's got to be a strange ship to be on, but it's kind of like one of their test ships, I guess. But yeah, they've been, and from September to November, out in the Arabian Gulf, they ran this thing through, you know, a bunch of tests, and the video of it is awesome, because this thing is, like, super accurate. They're blasting drones out of the skies with it. They're hitting, like, stationary targets.
So is this a video we can upload to the website?
It'll be attached in the links and stuff. But yeah,
so go there, folks.
They were, like, towing boats, and it was being able to hit moving targets. And it was, like, super accurate, too. Like, it could literally hit, like, the engine of a speedboat and not hit any of the passengers. I mean, it's, like... It's to the point where it's almost a sniper weapon where they can dial this thing in and take out a motor of a fleeing boat without, you know, hitting anybody on the ship.
That's scary.
Yeah.
What kind of range would you get with this weapon? I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, it's you know, theoretically lasers can go on forever. So I mean,
that's
I guess
what I'm afraid,
like,
of. Like, oh well, we hit that, but oh shit, lasers continuing. No, bad laser. Stop.
This reminds me of that movie. Was it A Real Geniuses? You remember that one from the 80s? Where just, like, the lasers like burned, like, halfway through the town?
I don't know. All this talk of lasers, and in my head, I'm still playing the Metal Ocalypse episode, you know, where they're, prepare the laser beams.
So, I mean, we're not far from having X-Wings now. We got real lasers. And apparently this, Rear Admiral Matthew Klunder, Chief of Naval Research, it performs so well that the Navy has authorized it for field use. I mean, right now it's not deployed on any active combat vessels, but they left it on the Ponce and was like, if you're attacked and you need
whatever,
to use
dude,
the laser.
If you know anything about Ponce, you know it's a combat zone.
Yeah. But yeah, they've authorized it to be used in combat if the need arises. And they're saying this is going to be deployed on all ships by, you know, 2020.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad to see my tax dollars going to something useful and cool. So,
I tell you, man, you know, the nerds that grew up watching these Star Wars movies and stuff. They're actually making shit now.
But dude, it's so awesome, you know, seeing. I don't know what this weapon system looks like or anything, but I mean, you look at the folks that are, you know, behind the scenes, actually just looks like they're playing like real life Call of Duty or something like that with their control layouts and everything. I'm like, man, I need to get in that video gaming school.
I mean, the picture of the operating set, I mean, it looks almost like a PlayStation controller, the guy that's running this thing. So it's there's not a whole lot to it, and it's also very cost effective. I mean, it costs less than $1 per shot to fire these lasers compared to what it costs, like millions of dollars for these missiles and bullets that we're dropping on places. So, hey, we're blowing stuff up and we're saving money. It's economical, folks.
All right. Well, now we have it from the spin doctor himself. I mean, man, I think you should have casted for Thank You for Smoking. Go work for...
I mean, bullets are expensive. Anyone who's gone to the gun range and shot a couple thousand rounds, it's expensive. But lasers, you know, they're cheap. They're cool. Now I just need that, you know, mounted on my car or something, like, so I can, like, pop people in traffic with it. Start building my Death Star.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to set your tires on fire. Oh, crap. Your gas tank exploded. And I'm going to do an illegal U-turn.
All right. Another thing, since we got lasers in space, possible life on Mars.
Dun, dun, dun. Whoa, it's scary. We had the same thought and sound effect.
As the guy says, I'm not saying it's aliens, but...
Chances are aliens. It's aliens.
Yeah, the Mars rover, scientists say for there to be life on Mars and other worlds, there's certain things that must be present.
Standing water is one.
5 basic elements of a life, which is carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, phosphorus, and nitrogen, and lots of time for life to evolve. And now this, like I said, the year that we've had the rover going on Mars, you know,
Dude, it's already established, all right? I saw the video of the tire tracks and the footprints and everything. I mean...
No, I think you were watching, like, one of the Transformers movies. But,
No. I absolutely know for a fact Michael Bay played no part in my knowledge.
But they've found, like, you know...
Although there were some cool sound effects and explosions.
Well, they've already found, like, all the elements in the proper... Yeah, format that could have been, that are, you know, has to be there. And they've also found evidence of standing water at some point. There have been, the mission of the Mars rover is to go to this mountain called Mount Sharp. And as it's been going through there, they've started to figure out this crater that the mountain is in was actually a ocean or a lake at one point. And the kind of the mountain was formed just by, it's like silt settling as this, you know, ocean dried up. So, and they're also, from some of the satellites and stuff they've got in orbit, they're finding evidence of rivers and deltas and lake beds, you know, all over the planet. So at one point, there was the necessary water on Mars. You know,
what naive beings we are.
And at one point, you know, they didn't think the time was there. I think, you know, there was water at one point, but they don't think it was there long enough for life to develop. But now they're seeing evidence that... parts of Mars has had water off and on for millions of years. So now they're saying, you know, all the building blocks or elements for life to develop are there, they've found. They've not really found any organic material because, this mission wasn't set up to, you know, to find that stuff. We would need to actually...
And what we realize is the surface of Mars is actually a living, breathing being of some sort. And...
It's a living planet. Yeah. But yeah, you know, so far, you know, they're not saying that there is life on Mars or was life on Mars, but now they found that there is the potential for there to be life on Mars, like, at one point. So, you know, further missions, like I said, we need to be able to, like, get samples and bring them back to Earth for actual in-depth study before we can prove yay or nay that there was, you know, some kind of life at one point. But it's a possibility, man. Alien.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait, we already used that sound effect. Yeah. Damn it. All right, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, humans are naive creatures, and to think that we are the only life in the universe, I can't see it.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen some weird people. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, there's some people who have descended from aliens. Or was that one, like, weird movie? Was it Mars or Red Planet where, you know, they find, like, the message left behind that... Yeah, as Mars, like, you know, fell apart, the Martians fled to Earth, and, like, you know, we're descendants from, like, the Martian settlers and stuff.
Hey, we all got to start somewhere, right?
That could explain, like, so much for... That dude's definitely got a little Martian in him.
So, what's next on your list?
Mars, this article you hit me to. They've discovered 8 new exoplanets, which an exoplanet is something that's not in our solar system. It's out in other solar systems, but are in what they call the Goldilocks zone, which pretty much like where we're at in our solar system is considered the Goldilocks zone because it's perfect. It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
I mean, it's basically, to sum it up, it's these planets orbit their stars at just the right distance to have liquid water, maybe even life. I'm going to say definitely life.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much like the conditions are there to support, you know, our human-type life. So, I mean, these are way, way, way out where we would take forever to get to. But, you know, if we were in this one little spot where we could develop life, then odds are that, there could be some other cigar nerds on other planets,
Absolutely. I mean, two of these planets, are actually being dubbed the most Earth-like exoplanets ever found. Apparently, they orbit red dwarf stars, which are just slightly cooler and a little bit smaller than our own sun. So, I mean...
Yeah, Dr. David Kipping, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, was one of the lead scientists on this discovery and said, we don't know for sure whether any of the planets in this sample are truly habitable. All we can say is there's promising candidates. So maybe these weird aliens people keep spotting that are abducting cows and shit could be from one of these.
There's something. I mean, there were another batch of mysterious crop circles that appeared last week that authorities were investigating as well. So,
sorry, I mean, I just got drunk and we all know when I drink, I get artistic. I made some crop circles. My bad.
I don't know about crop circles. You might have did some crop dusting. So, I mean, this information basically was just announced on January 6th, so stay tuned to the science segments. We may develop further knowledge. We will pass further knowledge on to you, to infinity and beyond and such. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I'm dropping all the quotes here, man. I don't know what's going on. What's So, closing thoughts, arguments?
Well, we got lasers now, and there's possible life on other planets. It's time to start building some X-Wings, man. I mean, that's the logical next step. We got to start building a space-based military. So,
we built a Death Star. We've tested it twice.
I mean, just start building Star Destroyers.
We know the lightsaber has been developed, although they haven't figured out a way how to control the said laser because it just continues infinitely. So sucks for everything beyond your point of impact.
Literally to infinity and beyond.
Oops. So that's what's new in science.
Cool. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
Stay tuned.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome, folks, to the Nerd News segment. I'm Brad Jackson. That's Smokin' Joe. We're going to talk to you about some nerdy shit.
Let's just say you're quiet for how long? Like you talk to yourself.
I mean, isn't that how most news reporting go? I mean, should I get all monotone and everything too? Like a little picture-in-picture screen pop-up or something with some titties so you get excited? I mean, dude, it's a new year. Come on, man. I need you to get pumped for this. So.
And this is the Nerd News.
Brought to you by the guy with a sweet mustache.
Yeah, get the 70s stash going, dude. Yeah, all right, so what are we talking about today, Brad?
Well, I figured it's a new year, therefore we should talk about some of the new exciting things that we are looking forward to in our nerd culture, geekdom, fandom, whatever it is that tickles your fancy.
I mean, there's like stuff to be excited about, because I'm not very excited.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, we got The Flash, Jurassic World.
Oh, shit, son.
You're over there playing on my steampunk lamp that eventually will be turned into something.
You mean
right
the pile
now,
of parts that we've acquired?
We have a pile of parts to steampunk. That's something to be excited about. How long have we talked about steampunking shit?
Yeah, that's probably one of the things for us to look forward to is our first appearance at a NecroCon, which We're not doing any panels or yet. Yeah, work on that for next year. But we're going to be there hanging out, smoking cigars, learning about steampunk, and yeah, hopefully meeting a few of you guys out there.
Hopefully we'll catch some risque geek, too, because I like some burlesque.
Yeah, I haven't seen if that's on the schedule yet or not. But
I mean, if it's not, we should definitely inquire within. So,
what's first on your list of?
Well, I guess most notably, since it debuted last night, I think we should talk a little bit about Agent Carter.
Yeah, that's I think it's going to be a good series. It's not going to be a full series, or at least they've not announced any plans yet. Right now, it's just kind of a 3-month mini series that's kind of taking the place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit.
I mean, there were some things about it that I liked. There were other things that were, you know, it was kind of weird seeing Agent Carter as not really an, you know, she's an undercover agent per se. Like,
yeah,
you know, basically just a secretary to all the other agents.
Yeah, because that's one of the things, you know, of course, you also, that time frame in America, you know, the 40s, and you see in a lot of old TVs and movies and stuff.
Chauvinist pricks.
Yeah, you know, women were not, you know, usually displayed as strong characters. And that's one thing that's cool, you know, during the war, she was a, you know, military officer and, you know,
very well respected and,
you know, was part of the action. But now that she's back into the civilian world, you know, post-war era, yeah, it's gone back to the stereotypical way of, you know, treating women. Where even though she's, you know, got this combat experience, I'm sure most stuff she did in the war was top secret. Yeah. So they just treat her like another secretary, and she's having to, you know, deal with the stresses of that interaction.
But yeah, I mean, I do like the prequel aspect, you know, of going into Howard Stark's character and everything else too.
And just to say, for anybody who's not familiar, Agent Carter was the girl from the first Captain America movie. She was, you know, part of the whole, you know, Captain America project and all that. And as we've learned in Winter Soldier, she was one of the first S.H.I.E.L.D. agents when S.H.I.E.L.D. was developed. And this, you know, this show takes place kind of before officially becoming S.H.I.E.L.D. It's still the scientific, strategic scientific reserve or whatever.
I mean, especially, you know, during the World War II era and everything else. I mean, you know, I'm watching it and, you know, I'm having flashbacks of Captain America and stuff in my head. So it's just awesome to see all these characters and the well-roundedness that Marvel's doing.
She's a very much a female James Bond set in the 40s. It's kind of how the show, like a lot of the gadgets and stuff that you see modern versions in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but seeing the old school tech is pretty awesome.
Almost kind of a steampunk element to it in itself, you know, because it's, I mean, for that time frame, very futuristic weaponology and everything else. So, you know, those were some things that
like
tickled my fancy.
Her watch lockpick thing that just stuck to the side of the safe and unlocked the safe. And said it's very reminiscent of Agent Shield. And even the one thing, I don't know if it's going to end up being the same location or not, but the office that she's in now looks a lot like the office that's on the current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the S.H.I.E.L.D. base that...
I mean, why would you go out and develop a new set? Why not just recycle the old?
It just looks like a brand new version of that old rundown set that you're seeing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm wondering if that's going to end up being the same, you know, same office.
Absolutely. So another thing that I'm kind of looking forward to that we got to see, and I'll try not to throw out any spoilers, so if you folks haven't seen the episode or whatever, but it was nice to see that we got more than an 18-centimeter teaser trailer for Ant-Man, too.
Yeah.
Because actually being able to see the movie, you know, and the character development and the props and everything, it...
Yeah, because that's one of the things I was not...
I have a lot more interest in it now than what I did prior.
Because I'm familiar with the character of Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, who's... This is not based on him. It's based on... I can't remember the name of the character, but he was like the second version of Ant-Man, who was like a thief or something that ended up stealing the Ant-Man suit. Or that's how it was in the comic books. But this one, I think he's also a criminal or something like that. But, you know, Hank Pym brings him in, because Hank Pym in this version is an old man. And he's like trying to get somebody new to take on the mantle of Ant-Man, or just what I can tell from the previews. And it's, like I said, I wasn't really excited because I've never really liked the character of Ant-Man. I'm like, big deal, the dude can get really, really small. Or, yeah, he can get really, really big. I don't know if they're going to show that.
Whatever,
if
there's a grain of sugar, he's going to find it.
Yeah, but I like Paul Rudd. I think he's hilarious in all the comedy stuff, but never seen him in an action role. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he handles being, you know, a superhero.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that so far I've been really happy with, you know, the reboots of the different series and stuff like that. So,
I mean, Paul,
you know, I'm going to give it a legitimate shot.
Yeah, I mean, anything Paul Rudd's in has been fun, but like I said, this is, I think, his first action role, because, I mean, he was hilarious in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Role Models and just about anything I've seen him in. So, yeah, I'm interested to see, because he's definitely going to bring a comedic value to that role, which we've seen in a lot of the Marvel movies, adding these comedic elements, like our favorite movie of last year, Guardians of the Galaxy, was hysterical. I mean, it was, had the action and stuff. But
they
were
actually nominated for a Oscar, I believe.
I'm not sure what exactly they were nominated, what category they were nominated.
But it'll be awesome, because I think this is going to be one of the first superhero movies that, you know, would take the title. And, you know, you've had so many serious movies come out and everything. And Guardians of the Galaxy, was so, in most parts, pretty lighthearted compared to a lot of the other films and stuff. So,
and I'm pretty sure it's a technical nomination. But, yeah, the special effects on that movie were epic. So I could definitely see that winning some kind of award, in at least, if not in the acting field, at least in the technical fields.
Yeah, another series that I'm interested in is The Flash. See where that goes. I mean, went from Marvel to now DC, but, it was awesome to see, the premiere and, for it to be a CW show and everything else, to have 6.8 million viewers. I mean, I'm curious to see what direction it goes. So, and for the folks that don't know, it basically, coattails the Arrow series.
Yeah, I've liked the Flash series so far, so I'm looking forward to its return and see where it's going now, because it's definitely, they've introduced the Reverse Flash, and I'm kind of waiting to see how that plays out, because, the guy we all think is the Reverse Flash, I'm like, he's been like the helper, that character is so weird to me, because at one hand you think he's the bad guy, but then he's also like Flash's greatest ally at this point in the series. So I'm waiting to see how that, character plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of switching gears a little bit, talking about some of the movies. We touched on it previously, but I'm still very curious about Jurassic World. I anticipate seeing what Chris Pratt does, piggybacking off of Steven Spielberg's franchise. So, we'll see how that goes. But, dude, the SWAT Raptors and stuff like that, there's definitely some cool twists in the movie.
Oh, and
that,
Guardians was nominated for Best Screenplay. So that's a big,
that's a biggie.
Yeah, a big one for James Gunn. I mean, that's a huge, huge deal for a writer. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see if he gets a win.
So, so we got Jurassic World. The next thing, man.
And, of course, this is the year of Star Wars.
Star Wars is farther up on my list. that's probably one of the biggest films I'm anticipating this year.
Or, as I like to call it, A New Hope That It Won't Suck.
Yeah. Hey, this is actually titled The Force Awakens. We got the title and shit right this time around.
And that's, speaking of Star Wars, some things that I'm kind of looking, I found something I'm looking forward to is, we've talked about the expanded universe kind of being retconned and them starting over with like a new expanded universe. Well, they've started releasing some of those books now, and so far they're getting, pretty good reviews. I've only read one of them. I read, A New Dawn. And that one was a good book. I'm fixing to pick up Tarkin and start reading that. But Tarkin's already, I think it's considered a bestseller and it's getting some good reviews. So I'm looking forward to seeing what other expanded universe stuff we're gonna get this year.
Absolutely. Another movie, Avengers: Age of Ultron. Of course, we've touched on it.
We'll probably do a whole review of that when it comes out. If not a full episode,
everybody else in freaking geek and nerd culture.
Yeah, if that's not a full episode, it's at least a whole nerd news segment on our review of Age of Ultron.
And just some of the other stuff. All right, try not to revoke my man card here, but
let me pull out my red card just in case.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a venture here, folks, and say just geek fashion, toys, everything else, the stuff that I've been able to find on Etsy, Pinterest, a lot of these other websites.
You're on Pinterest.
Hey, you know what? But it's for a manly cause. Same reason we bought a sewing machine, dude. It's for a manly cause, okay?
I've not ventured into Pinterest territory, but I spent a lot of time on Etsy the other night looking at steampunk stuff. So there's some cool, you know, handcrafted stuff out there that you can get.
I mean, I bought some really sweet Christmas ornaments. I mean, hell, all kinds of Doctor Who stuff for the freaking nerd tree. And
yeah, that's the secret, folks. If y'all want some cool, like, store-bought stuff, yeah, you can find some cool nerd craft on Etsy.
And, you know, I'm going to go out. I was talking to you a little bit about today, but I did go ahead and sign up for Loot Crate.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, basically $13.37 per month, and you get an awesome treasure trove of geeky goodies every month and everything. So I think each month they send out what the theme for the box is, and if you want, I think you can skip that month and, you know, everything else if you're not interested. If you know,
yeah, I may have to do that once you get yours in and see what it's like, because there's a lot of cool little stuff I think would be cool to, you know, decorate my, you know, nerd cave north with.
This month's theme, I think, was stuff related to video games. So I'm hoping, you know, some retro toys or action figures, or I mean, who knows? So that'll be something we can talk about on a nerd news segment once I get all that stuff in.
All right, well, that's one, something like that. Upcoming, yeah, video game stuff. So what do you think about, you know, any video games that has been announced for this year so far that is hitting your list?
A couple of big ones. Of course, you got Halo 5 Guardians. I mean, Halo always a huge franchise and everything.
Yeah, I've not played any of the new Halos. Like I said, I've been a PlayStation guy so I haven't played the Xbox stuff in a while. But Halo, when I played it, was always a good game. So I'd like to see how that new one's going up. For me, it's definitely the new Batman game, Arkham Knight. That so far I've not invested in the PlayStation 4, but that's one of the ones that I'm like, yeah, I'm finally going
mean,
to have to.
You know,
upgrade.
And another thing too, not only for PS4 owners, but PS3 as well. I believe it is January 13th. PlayStation Now will be debuted, so you'll actually be able to stream games for a limited time from your PlayStation. So
that's cool. It's gonna be kind of like a Netflix of video
games.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I almost, to me, it's almost a little bit like GameFly, I guess. You know, some of the cons I've heard is the content is, when they beta tested it, was a little bit limited, but we'll see once it actually goes live if, you know, maybe you'll get your hands on some, you know, newer releases. It may not be up to the day or something,
yeah.
But I mean, I think with
GameFly,
you had to wait like, you know, 3 months or something like that before you could get your hands on,
well, not just
some of the big
new
box
games,
titles.
From what I was hearing, you're going to be able to get a lot of the old stuff too, because we've been on definitely a retro gaming kick, and it'd be cool to go back and play some of those PlayStation 1 games, PlayStation 2 games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I'm definitely probably going to invest in that at some point. Yeah, because I said at this point, there's not really been any titles for PlayStation 4 that I'm like, I absolutely have to have the PlayStation 4. Most stuff have been dual releases and stuff, but yeah, I'm definitely going to upgrade this year because I want to play Arkham when it comes out, and then also there's a new Mortal Kombat game coming out this year.
I forgot what
I'm
title
excited
is.
About that one.
Also, kind of along those lines, we got a new Metal Gear Solid game, the Phantom Pain debuting. And dude,
maybe he just has to fart. That's what the Phantom Pain is.
I don't know.
If he farts, he'll feel better.
I am a huge fan of the Metal Gear franchise. I mean, I grew up freaking playing it on Nintendo, and, you know, once it debuted on PlayStation and then started making it its way to next-gen consoles, I mean, it's a game that's forever going to be a part of my life. So, you know, I've always liked the way that they did the game developments and everything. So, they're going to switch it up, and I think this is going to be based on the an entirely new, different game engine. So very curious to see how that plays out. And that is definitely a must buy for myself. So, you know, that's some of the things that I'm looking forward to. Just to kind of throw it out there, for you folks that are audiophiles, Sony is...
What'd you call me?
An audiophile. That means you like music.
Oh, okay.
And quality, you know, sounding stuff. You know, that's why people pay big dollars. So like if you're interested, you can get a modern version of Sony's resurrected Walkman for the small price tag of $1,200.
What? What the hell does that thing do for like $1,200 other than being really cool?
Well,
for my,
I mean, it does run
Star-Lord
Android
4.2.
It does have a LCD screen that looks at media in it, images, and ooh, it's going to be considerably thick, like, you know, probably more like first iPod generation thick. So, I mean, I looked at a screenshot of the freaking device, and I mean, the buttons and everything look very retro, like the old school Walkmans and stuff. But it's going to have Bluetooth. It's going to freaking have, you know, I mean, it's being dubbed as a, you know, premium audio device with 128 gigabytes of storage. As well as support for micro SD cards. It'll come supporting Google's new Google Cast Audio for connecting to supported wireless speakers. And, I mean, I would say probably the sound quality on this device is probably going to be second to none.
Sweet.
So, I mean, something for, you know, oh, I got to have the latest and greatest. Maybe something for you folks to go out there and check out.
Yeah, I mean, and also it works for your Star-Lord cosplay. You can have your Walkman.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to support cassette tapes, though.
Damn it.
I mean,
it should. If you're going
to
go on Walkman,
you might just have to, you know, get the digital versions of the awesome mixes.
Get the cassette, USB that looks like a cassette. That's one thing I want to. They just announced that they're not going to make the iPod Classic anymore, and that's what I've been using forever because it holds so much stuff. So I need something a new MP3 player if my iPod ever dies on me.
Yeah, I mean, that's just scary, you know, to think that you've got a small device that at any moment, you know, the memory can crash or whatever. So very important,
yeah, the
folks,
screen is already
with everything
bad on it,
being
so
digital and touchscreen. And I got to say, man, as far as iPads or iPods are concerned, I mean, hell, we put one through a washing machine one time, washer and dryer, put it in a freaking tub of dry rice, and within a week, it was fully charged and functioning like nothing ever happened. So, I mean, I got to give Apple some props for that design.
It's one of the weird memes I saw one day. It was like how to fix your iPod if it broke or if it's been dipped in water. It says, you know, put it in a bag of rice, and in the middle of the night, Asians will show up and fix your iPod.
Well, I didn't see any Asians, but I mean, I will say that the rice did its thing and absorbed the water and everything. So, that's it for Nerd News. Any closing thoughts, arguments?
Well, sounds good to me. We're looking forward to the 2015. Back to our regular schedule of having, you know, shows every 2 weeks. So there's plenty of – we got some excited –
Well, don't lie to people that way.
No, and as far as I know, we're not taking more time off. So we'll be on our regular schedule for a while. You know, we're trying to get the next 6 months or so planned out. So maybe we'll tease y'all with a list of upcoming shows here pretty soon on our website. Check us out on the ESOpodcast.com. Be sure and hit their e-store while you're there, your Amazon e-store there. They help support the station. Check us out on our website, CigarNerdPodcast.com. You can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter is at CigarNerdPod. And with that, may the Schwartz be with you. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.